Hello again and welcome back. The book publishing industry is changing on all fronts, not only how books are produced, but how they are read and how they are sold. E-books are impacting publishers. Big box bookstores are fading as online purchases soar. Doesn't sound promising for small independent bookstores, but their number is actually increasing. Several people who know the business best in our area are with me in studio. They are Chris Kleindienst, co-owner of Left Bank Books. It's been in business for some four decades here. Holland Saltzman owns Novel Neighbor in Webster Grove, is a brand new independent bookstore. And Emily Hall has been co-owner of long-established Main Street Books in St. Charles. She's been in that job for about a year. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Chris, I'm going to start with you. And I'm starting with the other end of the spectrum. What's happening to the big box stores? They're fading, as I indicated.
Well, yes, that model is not really sustainable, as it turns out, in this particular day and age. However, the smaller footprinted, more elastic, independently owned stores are ideally suited to step up to the plate.
How so and why?
Well, we've always been here, and we can react to things faster. We don't have to produce ginormous returns to stockholders. The footprint is just more sustainable. We have a more intimate and kind of community attractive design. You know, our business plan, if you will, is just more person friendly.
I hate to bring this up, but Left Bank Books had two locations mm-hmm. in town until the last year or so. Your downtown store is closed.
What? Yeah, sure. Well, we reduced our footprint. We felt it was a strategic move. Mm-hmm. We felt that we were able to do what we did better under one roof than spread out like that. And in fact, we're coming up on 1 year with our consolidated store, and we have had our best year in the history of our store.
Well, obviously something is working because the number of independent small bookstores is on the increase. But I think I saw 27%. That's pretty steep.
Yes. Well, in the American Booksellers Association membership, we saw 59 new stores open in 2014, and 29 stores actually change hands. Emily's store at Main Street is a good example. So these are really positive signs.
Right.
Bookstores are here to stay.
Well, I certainly hope so from my personal perspective. Holly, let me turn to you. I mean, this is something you had to consider. You opened your store, in September, was it?
Yes, September.
Give me something of your thought process and deciding, well, I think I'll go into the book business.
Well, in Webster Groves, there was not an independent bookstore that I thought was serving what we wanted to do, which was new books as well as local art and then a community space for people to kind of come together in our neighborhood. And so selfishly, I wanted people that I knew and for our kids specifically to be able to come to a place and find new books. And as Chris was talking about, have sort of that more intimate experience of being able to talk to somebody about what you're interested in and what you might find that you wouldn't normally.
Didn't you replace another bookstore, however, Puddinhead Books? Was that it that was also in Webster Groves?
That closed about a year and a half before, and then I had been doing some librarian work in Webster Groves before that and started putting the two and two together of, well, let me see if I'm crazy. And like I said, the numbers are going up, and it's been really well supported so far.
Well, Emily, let me turn to you with regard to what you're doing. Now, your shop has been in business for couple of decades.
Yes, we've been around for, it'll be 22 years this May.
Right.
Well, and
so give me something of your thought process with regard to you took over as a co-owner about a year ago.
Yes, we took over an established store. My parents are my co-owners with me. It was a situation where an established bookstore that had been a longstanding favorite institution in the Main Street community was going to close. The previous owner decided to retire, had been looking for a buyer for a couple of years, and just wasn't having any luck. My family happened to be in the right place at the right time to be able to take over this business, but it was partially a personal decision. I've always been a reader, and it sounded like a great opportunity for me to establish a career for myself. But it was also partially a decision to involve ourselves in the community on Main Street. It's been a place where my family has been comfortable for many years, and it's always been a place where we wanted to leave a lasting impression.
You mentioned community, and mm-hmm. that's come up. The word has come up a couple of times in this conversation. I have a caller already who wants to address that aspect of it. So let's bring Michelle in. Michelle, thanks for coming in. You're on the air.
Oh, hello. Yes. My name is Michelle Barron. I'm the owner of the Book House, and we also have been a local bookstore for about 30 years, and we just moved our bookstore into downtown Maplewood, and we have, you know, done a lot of soul searching about what bookstores mean and what the bookstore of the future is going to be, should be, and we have really decided that we don't just sell books. You know, we sell, you know, we are a place for art and music and community to come together. And that's how we are kind of this new place. We're trying to build it out that way so that it becomes that for the community or for the surrounding community. And I feel like bookstores do act as anchors for communities. And I think people are really starting to recognize that.
Michelle, thank you so much for that. Let's get a response from those who are in the studio. Chris, I'll start with you at the bookstore as a community center.
Well, absolutely. And Michelle is actually part of this foursome that we are here today to kind of talk about what we're all doing on Saturday, the Independent Bookstore Day party that we're all holding, including Michelle at the Book House in Maplewood. And I absolutely agree with her. I think that bookstores function uniquely as a third place, that place where not work, not home, but where you can go and be with people you know, people you don't know, but people in your community. And, you know, author events, for example, are a really great way to sort of do that, to be that third place. We all have stuff that goes on in our stores with authors, and it brings people together. We recently had an event last week where, you know, a lot of people came together who hadn't met each other, but they before, and the stories that the author was reading were so compelling that they all, it was way past closing, that we had to finally kick them out because they were exchanging phone numbers. You know, it's like they were so happy to meet each other. So it kind of goes, you can't really quantify that value, but it's clearly essential.
You know, we're on your mailing list, and we get a lot of emails.
No.
We certainly welcome that. But, I mean, you seem to have almost a couple a week authors who come in.
More like a couple a night sometimes.
Really? Really?
We Left Bank, over the years, we're finally at a point where we're involved with over 250 author events a year. They may not be in the store, but we're everywhere.
Sponsored in other venues. You know, we've certainly been a part of that.
Yeah.
How about your thoughts with regard to author involvement? Do you have a lot of that?
Yes, we do. It's something that I personally have been trying to build up in Main Street Books for the past year. It's something that actually keeps our store solvent. It's a great other source of income for us, aside from people just coming into the store. We love going out into the community and bringing these authors to people who might not otherwise have an opportunity to meet the people that write the books they love. I just spoke with an author this past weekend, Sharon Cameron. She was visiting from Nashville, and she had never had an author come visit her at all. There was no author in that came to Nashville to do an event, and she said that she may have decided to start writing as early as 15 years old if she had had that opportunity. And that's one of the things that I absolutely love about being in the book business, is bringing those people, bringing these authors to the community and letting the community be a part of their story.
Holly, have you had a chance to really get into that yet in your relatively short time at the helm?
I am learning from the best around here of working with the author events, but we've also kind of focused on, we do a lot of art classes
for adults as well as for children. We have an artist in residence, and so she puts together a lot of using old books, using old clothes, and kind of repurposing and offering things along those lines, as well as we have a company that comes in and does monthly cocktail classes for the community, which seem to be very popular. And then we started book-themed birthday parties, and so that's been a real hit with kids being able to come in and talk to us about their favorite books, and then we can design a party around it, and it's just been kind of one of our favorite things.
You know, this is interesting because we've done a couple of programs recently in which with librarians and about libraries, and they are really evolving as community centers as well. A lot of that is going on. In particular, the library in Ferguson, for instance, has really become an important place for people to get together at this particular time. What is it, do you think, Chris? Is it the books, or is it just the kind of people who like books?
Yes and yes. Definitely. I mean, we're all, books are just rare, magical objects because they contain the world and all the possibilities therein. And those of us who are, eat, sleep, breathe, all the time books, really understand this. And I think the Ferguson example is an outstanding one because here was a community in a terrible crisis. And just, like other places like churches function for some people to come together in those times of crisis, a library to me was a no-brainer. And they were extraordinary and rose to the occasion. That's what book people do.
You know, I remember Borders. I guess we all do. But that was also a place where people could go. You could have coffee there. You could even get something to eat, some of the locations. And yet it didn't make it. And yet it was doing on a larger scale exactly what we're talking about here, is trying to be kind of a community place. I wonder why, again, that didn't work.
It's a sort of, I think that gigantic footprint where it's on that McDonald's model of opening, big boxes and having, yes, there were many passionate book people within the store, working in the store, but not really empowered to do what they could do best. So they were, so when they succeeded, it was almost accidental. Mostly it was like the pasteurized processed imitation cheese food version of bookstore.
What about this alliance that has been mentioned? You're all part of a group. I think it was Chris that mentioned it. Emily, what is that, and how does it work?
So it's the St. Louis Independent Bookstore Alliance. It encompasses bookstores from across the St. Louis and St. Charles areas, and it functions as a way to unite all of us as booksellers. We are all the owners or co-owners of our own businesses, and these businesses are in some ways in competition with each other because we sell the same product. We offer sort of the same kind of thing. But what the alliance allows us to do is to unite as book people under one banner and allows us to do good in the community. We partner for several different things throughout the year. This is one of the things, Independent Bookstore Day this weekend, that we are offering under the banner of the alliance. And we also participated last year in the fledgling literary festival Lit in the Loo, which took place on the Delmar Loop.
Now, Holly, what takes place on Independent Bookstores Day?
Well, in each of our stores, as well as about 450 stores across the United States, we have got limited item and all kinds of things from onesies to tea towels to maps and very interesting things that authors and publishers have put together just for this particular day, so they won't ever be offered again. And then individually within each of our stores, within the Alliance, we're all doing something unique and special. There's giveaways and specials, but then I think within each of one of ours, we're doing a 24-hour Harry Potter read-a-thon. So at noon on Saturday, someone's going to start reading, and we're going to go through the night until noon on Sunday, which has been popular with a lot of people in the area, as well as I think we each have some signings going on during the day with various authors. So it's something really exciting to be a part of locally as well as nationally.
You mentioned Harry Potter, which brings me to the issue of young readers. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing young customers or parents bringing in young people? Are kids reading Emily, you're nodding very
absolutely, energetically. Kids, so parents with young children and teenagers are some of our biggest customers at Main Street Books, because Main Street is an insular community. We have a lot of teenagers that just come by themselves, and they come in, and the very first thing they do is they go to our second floor, and they sort of hide away in our young adult room, which is one of the first things that I changed when I took over Main Street Books. I made it a space for teenagers to feel comfortable, and since I'm passionate about young adult literature, it's a way for me to connect with those customers. Young adult literature is as strong as it has ever been. It's incredible to see all of the people that are writing geared towards young adults, and it's incredible to have them all brought in.
Certainly
that
a growing genre. Chris, you can confirm for your Left Bank Books as well.
Yes, it's been a huge growth area in publishing, children's and young adult publishing, and certainly in our store as well, and we reconfigured our store to reflect that. I know that the Bookhouse is also experiencing that, and the studies have shown that kids actually prefer reading books to reading digital devices. So just because they're plugged in the rest of their lives, when they get ready to read, they unplug, and it's pretty exciting.
Which brings me to the high-tech part of our discussion. Just want to get into it very, very briefly with your Holland. You prefer being called Holly as opposed to Holland, don't you?
Actually, Holland.
I thought you said Holly when you came in. my train of thought will take me to the high-tech area. What impact is Amazon.com having on an organization like yours? What impact are e-books having on the small bookstore?
Well, it's funny. People sometimes come in and whisper if they are reading on a digital device. But I think what we found in this past year and the last couple of years is there's room enough for all of us. But I think the biggest pendulum swing that I've noticed blatantly is that a couple of years ago when I would shop in independent bookstores before I was involved in the business, I would see people kind of taking photos, and it was almost very slyly that I think going home to then buying on, or they would talk to you about, what they might be interested in. They were going to buy online to save a few dollars. I now have people coming into my bookstore, and they show me their Amazon wish list on their phone and ask if I can order the books for them. So it's a very specific, we want you to support, to succeed in independent businesses. I think the communities where we each have kind of anchored ourselves, I think specifically, are huge supporters of what we are doing. They get that there's an experience. They get that we support auction trivia nights, that we bring authors into their schools, that we host these events, that we partner with other businesses in the community. And you can't quantify that with a dollar amount.
Same. Go ahead, Chris.
You can quantify it a little bit, because for every $10 million of business that Amazon does, it supports 14 jobs. For every $10 million of business that an independently owned store does, it supports 57 jobs. Mm. And that message has been put out there and put out there and put out there, and people are getting it.
$10 million in business seems like an awful lot for an independent bookstore to me.
But we're talking about the landscape of $10 million spent anywhere locally, as opposed to...
Oh, I see what you're saying. See what you're saying. Okay. Emily, do you want to add to that?
Oh, man. I've noticed since I've started that the people that come to me, I have the same experience as Holland, is they show me a Goodreads account, they show me an Amazon wish list, and they come in and they want me to succeed in the community. It's a phenomenon that some people are dubbing reverse showrooming. Mm-hmm. They go on Amazon, they look up a certain book, and they use the algorithms that Amazon, constantly displays. If you bought this, then you will also like, et cetera, et cetera. And they come in and they say, okay, well, I read All the Light We Cannot See, which is the Pulitzer Prize winner for fiction this year. What else can you recommend, as a live human being, as a bookseller, that I would also enjoy? So it's nice to be able to have that impact.
So there is peaceful coexistence in the sense that it's working out okay.
Among us, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Our time is winding down, but I understand that you each came armed with a specific recommendation, a book to recommend to our listening audience. Mm-hmm. So let's do that now in the minute and a half that we have left. Chris Kleindienst, I'll start with you.
Well, my favorite book of the season is by the poet Elizabeth Alexander, who read at one of Barack Obama's installation ceremonies. It's called The Light of the World. It's actually a memoir. It is gorgeous. It is heartbreaking, but also heart uplifting. And every word is beautiful. I can't recommend it enough.
All right. And, of course, it would be available at Left Bank Books.
Of course.
All right. Emily?
I brought Life Unaware today, which is by local author Cole Gibson. She lives over in Illinois. We are having her launch this weekend from 2 to 4 during Independent Bookstore Day. It's a young adult novel, and it details bullying in high school. It is a book about both the effects of bullying on the victims and on the people who are doing the bullying. And it brings those two experiences together and showcases their commonalities and what happens when a bully is exposed for all of her faults.
We have a fairly robust local author community, don't we, Chris? Mm-hmm. I mean, you
yes.
probably know that as well as anyone.
Yeah, yes, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's a great community of bookstores and writers.
Yeah. Okay, now, Holland, I'll return to you for your
sure.
recommendation.
I'll round us out with I brought a children's selection, and it just came out yesterday, and it's called Pip Bartlett's Guide to Magical Creatures. So if you've got children that are interested in fantasy, and there's a unicorn incident that causes a young girl, Pip, who has to go live with her aunt for the summer, who takes care of magical creatures. And she's got a best friend who is allergic to all magical creatures, but there's something that starts to happen. So for any of the kids that are interested in fantasy or friendship, or just mayhem and humor, it's one of my favorites of the season.
Do you spend a lot of time reading the books that you sell?
I'm a big fan of children's books. I have to kind of rotate for my adult and the young adult, but I always probably read three children's books in a row because I find such delight in them. And like Emily had said, a lot of my customers are the younger customers coming in to get the print books, and I want to make sure that I'm up to date with what they're reading.
In a word or two, Emily, same for you?
Oh, absolutely. I try to read as much as I can. It gets tiring sometimes because you're also trying to run the business aspect of the store. But yes, I try to read just about as much as I can.
And Chris, a final word in 10 seconds.
Well, everybody needs to come out and see us on Saturday for Independent Bookstore Day and buy this great stuff we have and get prizes.
I hope they do. We'll have information about that day and where folks can go on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Thank you so much, Chris Kleindienst and Holland Salzman. Thank you for being
thank
with
you.
Us. And Emily Hall, thank you so much.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck
thank
on
you.
Saturday.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with Carl Ekberg and Sharon Person about their book examining the influence of the French government on the early history of St. Louis. We'll also take a look at a local connection with the PBS show Psy Girls. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio at 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.